Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. You may have heard that recently Eric Schmidt, the executive chairman of Google, said that the internet will disappear. What? That's what scads of media type said. What could that possibly mean? Well, listening to the three sentences that followed would have been a good idea. Here they are. Quote, "The internet will be so many IP addresses because of IPv6, so many devices, sensors, things that you're wearing, things that you're interacting with, that you won't even sense it. It'll be part of your presence all the time. Imagine you walk into a room, and the room is dynamic, right? And again, with your permission and all of that, you're interacting with the things going on in the room. A highly personalized, highly interactive, and very interesting world emerges because of the disappearance of the internet." End quote. Put into somewhat less breathless prose, the internet will become so much a part of our daily lives that we won't even notice it separately from what it does. We seldom, for example, think about electricity or the power grid unless the power goes out for some reason. Instead, we think about our lamps or televisions or cordless telephones, none of which would work without the electricity. But the technology has become so pervasive, it's just a part of everyday life, a given, like the sun will rise in the morning. Mr. Schmidt has a point, and of course his company has a very large investment in what he and many others with something to sell are calling the Internet of Things. But what the heck does that term mean? Put briefly, the Internet of Things means that many everyday objects will be connected through the Internet, which will, so its proponents say, make our lives so much richer, more convenient, and easier. We've all heard the example of the refrigerator that realizes that we're running out of milk, orders a gallon for us to pick up at the store on the way home from work, and then lets us know so that all we have to do is pull up to the drive-through window at the market, flash our credit card at an electronic eye, and be on our way home, milk in hand. On the way, we could issue a couple of voice commands to our smartphones, and our stoves will start warming up the dinner we left in the oven. The thermostats we left turned down during the day when no one was home will spring to life, so the house is all toasty when we arrive home. Meanwhile, at our home, our washing machines monitored the usage rates from the power company throughout the day and started the wash when the rates decreased during off-peak hours. Naturally, the machine chooses the proper water setting and cycle length based on the RFID tags in the clothes that we threw in this morning. And that's not all. We'll talk to our cars, and our cars will talk to one another and to our smartphones. The bracelets or necklaces or watches we wear will talk to our smartphones and, through our phones, to our nutritionists, our doctors, maybe our fitness trainers. Meanwhile, we'll be able to keep tabs on the well-being of our children or maybe our parents who are in our care. In short, things, objects, billions of them, will each have a unique Internet Protocol address, just like every website does today. That means that they'll be able to uniquely connect to other objects through the Internet and perform all sorts of tasks, some as a result of our specific instructions, some automatically. At this point, you may fairly ask how many objects there are in the world and how each of them can have its own specific address. That is a fair question. Up until recently, Internet Protocol addresses were assigned using a format called IPv4, Internet Protocol version 4, which used 32-bit addresses. That format was designed back in the Internet dark ages when no one imagined what the web would become today. This format allows for 4.3 billion unique addresses, which seemed like a number that would last for a century or more way back then. Whoops! By 1998, the Internet Engineering Task Force figured out that a lot more addresses were going to be needed and got to work on a new protocol, which is called IPv6, which is the protocol that Eric Schmidt referred to. This system uses 128-bit addresses, and so now can allow 3.4 times 10 to the 38 unique addresses. That's the number 3.4 followed by 38 zeros. Some wag or other claimed that that's the number of grains of sand on the planet, a claim worth taking with a grain of sand, but whatever it is, it's a huge number, big enough to assign a URL address to about anything that we'd like to assign an address to. So that problem is solved. Now the question is what to do with all those available addresses. General Electric and several other appliance makers have said that they will make all future appliances, quote, smart. In other words, connectable. There are already thermostats that sense when people are not in the house and turn themselves down. Fitness tools like pedometers can measure the number of steps a person takes in a day, calculate how many calories he or she used, and upload that information to the person's computer or to a website that keeps track of fitness goals without the person who wears it having anything to do with it. And the list goes on. But of course, with all that data, all that personal data floating around, there could be some big issues. A fact so obvious that even the Federal Trade Commission has said, oh boy, we could have a problem here unless we take some actions now. We'll take a look at what those problems could be and what actions might help to reduce them, right here on a future edition of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.